Welcome to the Cool Tools Show. I'm Mark Frauenfelder, Editor-in-Chief of Cool Tools, a website of tool recommendations written by our readers. You can find us at cool-tools.org. I'm joined by my co-host, Kevin Kelly, founder of Cool Tools. Hey, Kevin.
Hey, it's great to be here.
In each episode of the Cool Tools Show, Kevin and I talk to a guest about some of his or her favorite uncommon and uncommonly good tools they think others should know about. Our guest this week is Mark Stramaglia. Mark is an experimental musician and digital artist. He creates games and audio software under the name BludgeonSoft and produces and performs music and art as Wizard Master and Operation Reinformation. His current project is Vilmonic, an artificial life evolution and genetic sandbox game and virtual world. Vilmonic is available now on Steam and itch.io. Hi, Mark. How are you?
Good. Glad to be here.
So Mark, a couple of months ago, I think you sent me a screener of Vilmonic, and I was just blown away by how cool it is. So we'll talk about it a little bit later on. Let's get right into your tools, and you have some shoes that you want to recommend.
Oh, yeah. So these shoes are, I tell everyone about them. They're crazy. I've had this one pair for 8 years, probably over 8 years. And they're only slightly looking worn, and they're just the most durable, indestructible shoes I've ever owned. Yeah, they're the Chrome Kursk sneaker, mm-hmm. and so you know they're made for cycling mostly, but these are the kind of the street pair, mm-hmm. and they're crazy. I mean, they're really great, and no one really believes me, but I have photos of the same pair from 8 years ago, and they really don't look very different.
So one of the issues I have with shoes and sneakers these days is that I wear through the bottom pretty quickly, and even the Vibram sole, the big lug classic hiking boot, I will wear through in a year. So are they like, I mean, are the soles like indestructible too?
Yeah, like so they advertise them as they have really pretty amazing terms for them, but it's, you know, military grade vulcanized rubber, like nylon reinforced vulcanized rubber. Who knows what this stuff is, but on mine they're not worn down. Like I usually get the heel worn down a lot, especially in one corner. And these are not at all. And that's even after just a few years. I'm used to wearing my other favorite pair of shoes is a Caterpillar pair of construction shoes. And they're pretty indestructible too, but I don't wear them as nearly as much as these sneakers. And these sneakers are seriously still in great shape.
Do you do a lot of hiking? And like how much of a walker and how much wear do you subject them to?
It's a good question. You know, I bike mostly, so I'm not walking all over Oakland. But I do walk a bunch. I rarely use the car, so I'm pretty much biking and walking. So they do get a bunch of wear, but I'm mostly comparing them to other shoes I've had, and there's no comparison. They're the best.
They look nice too.
Okay. Military grade ballistic nylon canvas.
Right. That's the canvas on them is clean and unkind of worn. So the canvas is even crazier. It's there are some things that are still, you know, like after 8 years, there are some things that are starting to show their age. Like the rubber sole, the outer rubber covering is kind of coming off from the canvas. So there's a gap there. But that's, I mean, after 8 years, that's pretty amazing that that's kind of the one thing I point to.
For the listeners who don't see the picture that we're looking at right now, the other thing about these that are attractive to me is that there aren't a lot of, I don't know, swooshes, patches, doodads, all the usual nonsense.
They're minimal.
Yeah, there's very minimal. It's just kind of black. It's a you know, a single face, a single sheet of blackness. There aren't all these unnecessary dividers, partitions, and stuff that modern sneakers seem to demand. I don't know what's going on.
Yeah, they're really practical. You know, they're completely stripped down, just utilitarian, and so that's a great look for me. I love that look. And they also, one of the cool things is they have so many laces on them. They lace up very close to the toe, and that's a great aesthetic, I think.
Right. This is a continual plug for me and AJ Jacobs are trying to convert the entire world to using elastic laces. So it's another plug. If you haven't migrated to elastic laces, you're behind the times.
Wow, that sounds okay. I'm gonna have to look into that now. Wait, is there an episode that's all about these elastic laces?
Yeah, I think so. A couple of them, in fact.
Yeah,
so they're popular around here. We're looking at a price of between $60 to $75 right now on the Chrome site, the manufacturer. There's various colors. You can get black and white, kind of traditional sneakers, the all black ones, and then a gray one that looks kind of attractive. It's gray canvas or that nylon, and then a black upper rubber sole, and then a bright red bottom sole. Really cool looking.
Yeah, I think the bright red bottom sole, which you can only see if you lift your feet up, it's on most of them, if not all of them. The cool thing also is that these have a black sole, which is really hard to find in sneakers. So that's mm-hmm. kind of one. That's what attracted me originally to them.
Oh, okay. So you have the black. Which ones do you have? Is black on the top and black on the bottom?
Yeah. And mine, 8 years ago, they had a signature red stripe that all their sneakers had, and which I think is the best. Mm-hmm. It was just the one kind of embellishment on these sneakers was this thin red stripe that went around. And they apparently don't have that anymore, which is really too bad.
Okay, so the Chrome Kursk. Thanks. What's next on your list?
All right, so this is one that everyone has used and has seen around, but I think they don't get the kind of they don't get the props that they deserve, and it's the Bic 4-color ballpoint pens. It's those it's got red, black, blue, and green all in one pen.
Ah,
well, the kind that you click on different color tips that come out, yeah.
Now, this is great because it's got the four colors in it, but really my main thing is that I love ballpoint pens, that the original kind of old school ballpoint pens that are they're oil-based ink. And the difference between those and gel pens is that this oil-based ink is fairly viscous, and you can get a really amazing range of texture and tone out of it by writing lightly or writing heavily. So they're great. They're really great for drawing.
So what kind of drawing do you do with the ballpoint pen?
Well, there are two main uses that I have. One is I take my sketchbook all over Oakland, and I bike around, and I do these kind of representational, non-representational, or non-representational, representational drawings. And they're really just they're blind contour drawings, but not of people. They're of places and things and textures. I try to take my eyes off of what they would kind of land on and find the kind of least significant thing around, and then zoom in and do these drawings on them. And these pens allow me to get so much kind of variation in texture and weight. And another cool thing is that if you draw hard with them, they really impress the paper. So you get this kind of embossed look to your sketches too, which I love, especially if you use heavier weight paper.
And other than the fact that the one you mentioned is a 4-color, meaning you have 4 different choices, is the actual Bic pen, say the blue, just like your classic Bic pen ink and color?
It is. That you'll find, if you kind of get nerdily into this, which I do, you'll find slightly different colors, different variations of these blues or reds. The Bic 4-color pen has a less red in its blue. Papermate has a great kind of purpley blue color, and those are really wonderful too. So you do find these slight variations, and if you collect them all, they're great to use together.
Well, it's a little retro in some ways.
It totally is retro. And the crazy thing is, if you look at these pens, these are like simple, completely utilitarian design. They're really minimal and they're beautiful. If you go for the original classic one, they're super, super pretty.
Yeah, cool industrial design. And I also imagine that people who are into bullet journaling would find these handy.
Yeah, definitely. And that's kind of like all of the notes for my game for Vilmonic, I used with a tiny journal and using these pens. There are two of them. There's this classic red, blue, green, and black, and then they have a fashion color one that has lighter green and lighter blue and a kind of pink and purple. So I kind of just carry both of these multicolor pens around, and my notebook has got all kinds of interesting drawings when I'm working out the game mechanics or algorithms for my game.
Cool.
So they get pretty complex.
Maybe you could send us a sample and we can include it in the show notes.
Yeah, send us a sample of your art and we'll...
Yeah, that's cool.
That would be great. I'm also just noticing here on Amazon, they have all different kinds of barrel covers, colors too, like a silver one, transparent, some pastel colors, tons of things.
Right, they do. And those are really cool. You can kind of get into the silver one is nuts. That one looks really cool.
Yeah.
And they have a clear one also. Yeah, and that's with the kind of minimal design. Then they have kind of crazy gel grip versions too. There's a very executive looking all black one that I think I need to get.
So this is cool.
Yeah, but when you're talking about buying executive Bic pen, we're not talking about a lot of money, right?
It's just, no, I think it's the same exact price, but it's like made to look important or whatever.
Yeah,
it's very sleek.
It's like a black barrel and a little orange stripe around it. There's your stripe that you're missing on your shoes.
I know. So maybe that's a thing that I'm into, because these have that slight embellishment too, the one little stripe where the top and the bottom connect. It's beautiful.
These
it's
are
really,
really
great.
Super cool pen. Beautiful.
Yeah. Okay. Well, and also, Europe seems to have I can't tell if this is a fake product, but there's a yellow one that's got yellow and orange inks. Now, the thing about these oil-based ballpoint pens is you don't get many color varieties, and the colors are usually more muted, and it must have to do with, that ink technology. So to find like yellow and orange is pretty rare. And I don't know, like on Amazon, it seems like they've discontinued it because there were some complaints that this wasn't actually a real product. So hopefully there is a yellow out there. I don't know.
Yeah.
Yellow.
Yeah, that's cool. Pink, purple, orange, and yellow in that particular one. It's really cool looking.
Right.
But it says item under review because customers have told us there may be something wrong with our inventory of the item.
Right. I think it might be fake, but I don't know. I hope there's a yellow out there.
It sounds like the quest for the brown M&M or something.
Yeah.
The yellow Bic ink.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. So. Look for a New Yorker article about that. Okay, so tell us about another tool that you use, Mark.
Okay, so this one is amazing for the writing that I had to do for Vilmonic, and that's kind of how I got introduced to it, because I was looking for something to simplify the technical explanations that I was doing for the complexities in the game. The game is very complex, and so I needed a way to kind of slim it down. And this is the Hemingway editor, which is hemingwayapp.com. This editor their goal is to kind of simplify your writing as much as possible based on, I guess, the styles and the concepts that Hemingway would use in his writing. So I've found that, you just put your text in it in the web page and it instantly highlights complex sentences, kind of unnecessary bulk. And it was great. I would kind of play it as a game almost and get my reading level as low as possible. And it's super fun. I mean, it starts to change the character of your writing, which is not necessarily the best thing, but it's really great. What I would do is I would take these tech heavy explanations of how artificial life works and genetics and evolution and natural selection, which are bulky. And for a game where I want people to, I want as broad an audience as possible, I really needed a way to simplify that. So this tool was indispensable.
And is it something that runs on a laptop or is it Mac, Windows or what?
I used it just in the browser. So they have a web browser version and you can just go there and it's free and you put your text in. They have a downloadable version also for the desktop that has more features. And I haven't gotten that yet. It's $20. I'm planning to get it because I use it. I'm starting to realize I just use it for everything now.
So people can actually start or try it out on in the browser version. So it's a website you go to, you start writing, and then you save it as a. Is it on the cloud, or does it save as a PDF, or how do you?
I think they export it. I mean, I really just paste my text in and then copy it back out again. That's how I use it.
Back but they're out all, into, I, it, into a like a into a regular word processor,
or into just into a text editor. So I use like really stripped down text editors for coding. Uh-huh. My favorite is Sublime Text, and so I kind of I take the text out of my localization files and clean it up in Hemingway Editor, just pasting it in, getting it right, and then I copy it back out again and paste it right back into my localization files.
I see. So it's sort of like use like almost like a grammar checker kind of a function.
Yeah, and that's how I found it. That's what I was looking for originally. And then I found this tool, which did so much more and really helped kind of mold my writing style. And, you know, it's interesting. They kind of tout this as one of the benefits, and I found it to be true. It definitely teaches you how to write differently, or at least to be more thoughtful about how wordy you are or how technical you are, how complex you're being. So it really, you know, I don't even really need it as much now. It's definitely taught me how to write in a different way.
It'd be interesting to do an experiment where you take some writing that you really liked and put it there and see how it was graded.
Oh, I've done that. I've taken if I'm reading some article or whatever, and I'm like, oh my God, this is like someone writing text to kind of distance the reader rather than pull them in. And so I'll just take that and put it in the Hemingway editor. And it's like, you know, such a high, I mean, everything is red, and it's kind of fun. It's really funny. Not that that's a bad thing. I love some of that writing style.
But. I see. And so red is like not good.
Right. It's, you know, it's got red, orange, yellow, green, or whatever. Or I don't even know if that's green, whatever. But yeah, and you can see the reading grade level is usually very high, college level or whatever. And I think their goal and my goal has been to get it below or around 9.
Ninth grade.
Grade 9, right.
Okay.
It's even kind of fun. Like I've taken some of my own writing and tried to get it as low as possible. I've gotten to like grade 2 and it completely changes. Like it removes all kind of character and nuance from your writing. And it's really kind of funny. And so it's in that way, it's kind of a fun game.
But. It's like if you're going to be writing in that subreddit, explain like I'm 5, where you're explaining complex topics in a simple way, it'd be good to use this first.
Yeah. Yeah. And so that's really fun too. I love different styles of writing, so that, you know, if you want to achieve this ridiculously low reading level style of writing, it's kind of cool. So.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. But I mean, having just finished a piece for Wired where, there are very harsh and fierce editors picking. You have to fight for every word, basically every word. You have to defend every single word that gets in there. And I mean, it's an incredibly painful process, but I recommend it. And maybe this app does the same thing, where you have to justify each word that you use. Each additional word, say, and has to do something. And so that discipline of having to kind of fight for the higher level is a really good thing to learn when you're learning how to write.
Mm-hmm. That sounds great. I love that kind of atmosphere where, I mean, you know, defending what you're doing. I've learned this through art and also engineering, but defending, you know, being able to defend what you're doing down to the most minute detail, I think is a great exercise. And it's a really great way to kind of police yourself. So right. That sounds like a hard but kind of fun atmosphere.
Yeah. So this is maybe one way for someone who doesn't have highly paid editors breathing down their neck to accomplish some of that same kind of scrutiny.
Yeah.
So you have one more tool that you want to talk about, and tell us about it.
So yeah, this is kind of another, this one is very much the way I work. It's the way I do engineering on my computer. And it was very important for developing Filmonic because I wanted to release Filmonic on macOS, Windows, and Linux, all three at the same time. It was very, very important to me to do that. So I have this Mac laptop that I was able to get from work years ago and keep it. So it's a pretty old Mac laptop. But Macs seem to run VMs, virtual machines, really well. I've got VMware, and so that's what I use. So this is really using my Mac as a hypervisor, meaning that I'm using it to run my macOS plus a bunch of virtual machines of different operating systems. And so that's kind of that process is amazing for me.
What is the advantage of running virtual machines? Why would someone want to do that?
So there is the one thing where I can test my apps on all three operating systems pretty immediately or at the same time. So but for me it's even beyond that. I actually do most of my development in Linux. So I've got this laptop that runs all three operating systems. I'm using Linux in a VM, in a virtual machine, and it's running very fast, very smooth.
So you would have this old Mac laptop, and you'd be running some version of the macOS, some version of Windows, and some version of Linux all at the same time.
Yeah, definitely. And the great thing is macOS allows you to use gestures. So I have four-finger swipe set up so that I can just kind of slide back and forth between different spaces, and I have a different OS on each space. So the main desktop that I have is macOS, and I have my browser running in there, and I have one version of my game running there, and then I just four-finger swipe, and I'm instantly in Linux, and that's where I do all of my coding. My coding apps are all in there, my text editors, code editors, and then I four-finger swipe again, and there I'm in Windows. And I can test the 64-bit version of the Windows app immediately. They're all accessing the Mac hard drive, so I have the same code base that I can access. It's pretty amazing. It's a great way to develop for multiple platforms.
And then the software that you're using to permit this is called VMware.
Yeah, so I'm using VMware. I also use VirtualBox, and I'm torn between them. VirtualBox is open source, which I love, and I would use it more. It's for some things, it's a little slower, and it's getting better all the time. So I recommend that as a starting point for people if they want to just test it out, because it's free and open source. You can download it and try it out. VMware has a free version also for Windows. But for the Mac, I don't think they have a free version. I'm using, I bought a version years ago, and it's already out of date, which is unfortunate because VMware wants you to update pretty much every year with a new version and with new features and whatnot. But I'm using this older version of VMware, and it's very fast. It's really great. So I don't notice much of a difference. So that's the main thing. Being able to just kind of I show other game devs and I show friends how I'm working, and I'm just sliding back and forth between Linux and macOS or Windows, and everyone's like, "What is going on?" I mean, it's just so seamless and simple.
That's nice.
I try the same thing on Windows, and it's not really quite as fast, and it can't slide back and forth as seamlessly. So this setup really works well for me.
So, Mark, you have a couple other bonus things that you wanted to mention in our last couple of minutes before we get to what your current project is. I was just looking through this long list of other cool stuff, and I noticed one of them was called a USB mini portable turntable.
Oh.
So for people like, young kids who maybe haven't even seen a turntable, is this like a kind of a very inexpensive way to have a place to play some vinyl records that you scarfed at a swap meet somewhere.
Yeah, so this one is a really, it showed up a few years ago, and it was when I got it, it was $16.
Okay,
it's super cheap. It's smaller than your records. So you kind of you put your 12-inch records on it, and they're dwarfing this small turntable, which is, the needle's not the best. I go and I buy thrift store records all the time, so this is not kind of the thing that I worry about. But this, I got this turntable because I wanted to mod it. I wanted to put a potentiometer on it so I could slow the record all the way down to zero if I wanted to. And so I did that, and you know, 20 minutes later, I've got this turntable that I can play records at ridiculously slow, kind of fun, groovy speeds. So,
and is this something you got on eBay or?
Yeah, I think I got mine on Amazon.
Okay.
Oh, on Amazon. I saw them. I just searched and I see it on Alibaba.
Okay. So that's you. Hopefully, you got the cheaper and because on Amazon, I think they're all like $30 now.
That's yeah, great. They're like $30 on Alibaba. I found one for $15.99.
Awesome. Yeah, that's the one they get. Yeah,
that's the one to get. Okay.
You get that one, and I just kind of I removed four screws, pulled the bottom off, and there's all the guts. So simple, and I just started messing around with it.
Cool.
Yeah. How fun. Yeah. So if you have records that you kind of don't care about, like I imagine the stylus is not too kind to the records.
Probably,
but if
true,
you're like some garage sale LPs or something, why not?
I have this goofy thing that I do at parties that we throw where I my DJ name is DJ Party Killa, and I play all of my 78s that I have, which are, you know, shellac. They're not even vinyl, and I play those with this turntable. Pitch them way, way slow. And so it creates almost these kind of drony ambient songs that will definitely kill the mood in your party.
Or you can speed them up too.
Cool.
Yeah, definitely you could. I haven't tried that. You've just opened up a whole new universe for me. So.
Very cool.
So what's a project that you're working on? Something you want to tell us about?
It's this game that I've been working on for way too long. It's about 6 years now. I've done every aspect of the game. So that's writing a custom game engine, all in HTML5 and JavaScript, to all the custom pixel art and animation engine. This game is called Vilmonic, and it's an artificial life simulator and virtual world. So the idea behind it was to create a world where you exist within it. There's no God mode in this game. It's just its own kind of biology and physics that you have to work with.
And is it available now? Is it going to be available? And what do you need to run it?
Yeah, it's available now. It's out on Steam, and it runs on, it's a desktop app, so you download it and play. It's also on itch.io. So on itch.io, you just download the whole game. It's a desktop app. That's pretty much it. Yeah, it's available on Steam and itch.io, but this game is all interesting because it's all pixel art. So the pixel art, though, in this game all has meaning. So the number of pixels on the screen and the color of the pixels all determine the life forms and how much nutrients or hydration they use and how they're going to exist within their environment. So all of it is generated. It's all generative life forms based on genetic code for these creatures.
Is it like Spore?
A little bit, although some of the things that Spore was dinged about were it's kind of evolution is forced in a certain direction. This game, my game, evolution is purely trying to model the way that natural selection works in biology. So there's no direction to the evolution. It was very important to be able to make these creatures evolve to be really stupid if that actually had a purpose for its survivability of that organism within its environment, or to be smarter. So the creatures have neural net like brains. They can become aggressive or fearful. The brains are really simple. So that's the whole thing about this game is the life forms are none of the behaviors are programmed in top down. So I don't determine how these creatures are supposed to act. It's just a bunch of simple, very simple rules that determine how they'll end up behaving. So this game is all about emergence. The behavior is all emergent based on these very simple rules.
Are there goals for the game?
there are some goals in it, and I some of it is to try to evolve creatures of a certain type. One goal is to try to create carnivores, which is kind of hard to do. But then there's also the food source in this game has its own genetic code and evolves. And so one of the things is they're fungi like, they're mushroom like, and you can evolve those to have different colors, and those different colors have different crafting abilities. So that's one thing you can do too, is you start using breeding techniques to make red mushrooms, and those red mushrooms allow you to make a cola. And drinking that cola is the only way to speed up the simulator. So it speeds everything up, and you've got your game running at 10x speed, and you can really see evolution taking place.
I love it. You also have some t-shirts that have the logo and some of the characters or the little creatures that have evolved. When are those available? It says they're coming. I really want
them. Mary and I have, we printed off a whole bunch of t-shirts, hand silk screened them all. So we have them all.
So cool looking.
Yeah, they're fun, and they're made to look kind of old, like rock, you know, punk rock t-shirts kind of. They're two color, black and kind of neon Marcus. Orange.
Cool.
So I need to inventory those and get those up on the site so that I can start selling them. But yeah, those are coming very soon.
I think like an unfair way to describe this game is like SimCity, except for biology. I think is like a simple way to say it. That's probably wildly incorrect, but the look of it and feeling reminds me of like when I first started playing SimCity, and you kind of just set up these conditions and see what happens.
Yeah, it's definitely true. I mean, that description works. One difference is, and one of the goals, as I mentioned, is that this game has no god mode. So the only way you can actually interact with the world is you have an avatar, and so you have to work from within the world to figure out the physics of this game and to figure out how things are going. It's purposefully mysterious in that way, because one of the goals I had was to force people to start using the techniques of the scientific method, say, to figure out how things are going, rather than having a heads-up display that shows you all of the intricacies of what's going on with the simulated biology and the physics. You really have to use observation and experimentation. So that's one difference. You know, SimCity is definitely a god mode game.
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
I think the thrill is similar in both. You know, you're really trying to, you're living in this world, and you're figuring out how things work.
Cool.
Yeah. Such a fun game. It's just gorgeous. The design is fantastic. Congratulations on making something that's so cool.
Yeah.
Wow. Thanks so much.
Fantastic.
So yeah. And so I'll just say it again. People can check it out, listeners, by going to bludgeonsoft.org. Mark, thank you so much. This has been a real pleasure talking to you.
Oh, it's been great talking to both of you. So glad that you had me on.